This evening's Easter Vigil is a special one, since we have several individuals who are being fully received or initiated into the church tonight. We have our catechumen, Sam Sperry, who is being baptized, our candidates, Don Motzing and Bennett Welsan, who are being received into full communion with the Catholic Church, and Scott Opsel and Jordan Myers, who are being fully initiated as baptized Catholics in confirmation. Each of them, accompanied by their sponsors, have been going through a process for the last several months of learning more about the Catholic faith and striving to deepen their relationship with Christ. All their preparations culminate tonight in the celebration of the Easter Vigil Mass, a liturgy that is both very beautiful, dramatic, and symbolic. It's moving, and it's mysterious, both for them and for all of us present. I'd just like to draw our attention to just three key symbols of this liturgy. Those symbols are light, water, and the sung Alleluia. Light, water, and the sung Alleluia. So first, light. Light, along with water, is the fundamental or primordial symbol for life in the world and for mankind. Earthly light, light that comes from the sun, is the most direct reflection of God. It speaks the most about him. On both the eves of Christmas and Easter, we have this symbolism of night, that is taken over by the dawning light. This represents really the central dynamic of our faith. God comes into the world victoriously. God enters a world that doesn't necessarily want to let him in, but yet cannot prevent him. I hope this sheds some light, so to speak, on the procession of the Easter candle into the dark church, representing the light of Christ penetrating and taking over the darkness. When we carry the candle in procession, the priest chants, "The light of Christ," and everyone responds, "Thanks be to God." The darkness of night, the darkness of our world, enables us to more fully appreciate what the light is. This light enables us to see. It gives direction. The truth of the gospel gives direction. And it helps us to better know others and ourselves. And when the whole church is filled with light, it is no longer merely a celebration of the resurrection. It's a sign or a foreshadowing of the second coming of Christ and eternity in heaven. For those of you receiving the Easter sacraments, and for all the rest of us, have you been reflective about how Christ's light has been breaking into your life? Have you heard him knocking on the doors of your hearts? Have you been letting him in, or have you at times ignored him? What are the ways in which you have preferred darkness? Have you responded generously? Have I responded generously with my life
to the light that has been given to me, or have I at times squandered it? For those of you being received into the church or being fully initiated, you are given a beautiful light, and it is important for you to remember that you will, following this lovely night, experience darkness. You'll experience lots of darkness at times, in which the evil one will try to steal the joy in your hearts. It will be coming from all kinds of different things. It will come from difficulties in life, health. It will come from struggles in family. It will come from struggles in faith. When the consolation of the glory of this night disappears, it happens to everyone. But it is key to always going back to the light that you've received, the light of Christ, and to seek out his face. It will come in the face of the person sitting next to you in the pew who is one day not so nice, or is kind of a jerk, right? Or scandal in the church. Again, we always go back to the light of Christ and seeking his face. We should also recall the candle that we are given at our baptism. The world in which we live is dark, but even the light of a single candle scatters the darkness. Where do you see that there is darkness, even just in our own community, our families? Have you stepped up? There are many. Have you stepped up? There are many, many out there who would say to me, "Father, the church should do this, or the church should do that, or fix this problem, or Father, you should do this." That's my favorite. I want to look at them and say, God has given you a candle and the means to light it. Maybe the Lord is calling you to do something. The second symbol is water. Another basic and primordial symbol, another source of life in the world. Water flows, it cleanses, it refreshes. We will soon witness the Easter candle here dipped into the baptismal water of the font, a sign of Christ's light penetrating the earth with his life and his grace. We know from the Passion account that after Jesus died on the cross, a soldier struck Christ's side with a lance. And what flowed out? What flowed out? Blood and water. The fathers of the church called this the birth of the church, the sacraments, the Eucharist, and baptism. Christ gives himself to us in the sacraments. Christ gives himself to us on the cross. And his stream, the stream that flows from him, if we allow it to flow into us, can transform our wilderness into a fruitful land. All this comes to us from Christ's self-surrender on the cross. Have we surrendered ourselves? Have we fully availed ourselves to the church and her sacraments, especially confession, so that we may worthily and fruitfully receive Christ in the Eucharist? For those receiving the sacraments of initiation tonight, and for all of us, may we not forget that much of the Christian spiritual life concerns the full surrender of our hearts, minds, and bodies to God and his will. The third symbol is the sung Easter Alleluia.
Singing is an outward expression of joy. That's why we sing a lot of the parts of the Mass, especially, you know, on such solemn occasions like this. It's a sort of participation in the singing of heaven. That's why chanting, you know, a lot of the parts of the Mass tonight. I was once at a parish in which, you know, people kind of complained that if there was too much singing. Well, what a bunch of lousy curmudgeons. Shouldn't be that way. Glad it's not this parish. When we speak of the angels and saints singing in heaven, it's a metaphor for the joy of heaven that would consume us, God willing, we get there. Originally, the word Alleluia was a Hebrew expression that meant roughly praise Yahweh, praise Yahweh. But over time, it lost its specific meaning and came to be simply an expression of a song of joy that requires no words. It's just a sound of exultation and jubilation. Not having sung the Alleluia for over the last 40 days of Lent, it's a new song, a new song. It looks forward to heaven and the end of time when God makes everything new. The Alleluia should remind us of what we hope will one day take place in us. We look forward to being wrapped up in the immense joy of heaven. So for at least this night, should we not strive to forget all the trivial things that seem to oppress us and worry us? May we allow ourselves to get swept away in the great expectation and hope for our eternal future, that God, although hidden, has already begun to work out in us. The light of Christ has shown us the way out of our darkness. His self-offering on the cross pours out over us to transform us and make our lives fruitful. We know that the toil and suffering of this life need not weigh us down. We have reason to sing Alleluia. Happy Easter.